Blog Talk Radio.
As I look at my kids, I know they miss their mama. Since I got out the pen, been through so much drama. It choked my daughter up to tell me what she went through. While I was doing time, I couldn't tell you. I remember that first day walking in my home. It looked all abandoned. I felt so alone, holding my kids' hands, and they looked up at me. I had to let her go. That's how it's gotta be. Fast forward 2.5 years, my baby's here. Living good, right direction, daddy gotta steer. Economy is bad, the money's even worse. Hated my mama giving hundreds to me out of purse. Yeah, I'm mama's baby, but it drive me crazy. College graduate, yet nobody wants to pay me. My own family played me. Girl, you broke my heart, but that encouraged me to see success about the start. Yeah, I got this music touching inner soul, and pray to be the tool that closes up the black hole. But at the same time, I gotta do my first job. Guide my children not to thrive on being heartthrobs. I can't let them go, God, let them stay with me. When I hit my knees, I let them pray with me. Watch their movies with them, let them lay with me. And tell the truth on every track until that day hit me. Yes, when the Lord takes me away, I truly did my best, that's all that I can say. And pray my good deeds outweigh my shortcomings. In this real music, I hit the court running, yeah. To the Lord, take me away. I truly do my best. That's all that I can say. And pray my good deeds outweigh my shortcomings. In this real music, I hit the court running. Times got better, but it's still hard. I know it's about to change. I can't fall apart. My woman's stressing out. I know I played a role by being selfish, but you helped me got a heart of gold. I learned to let my ancestors guide my right hand. When my pen move on paper, see that light, man. In the booth, I leave frost on the mic stand. One of the reasons why they call me the Iceman. Life's lessons, they be hard on the king, but you gotta face them or your crown will only be a dream. My star alignment at my birth was the gift, blessed to speak to your soul, I enrich and uplift. They say your struggle's depth determines success type. If so, I find success through my struggle on the mic. Can't look in my kids' eyes and let them see this pain, so I put it on the disc for the world, entertain. Yeah. When the Lord takes me away, I truly did my best, that's all that I can say. And pray my good deeds outweigh my shortcomings. In this real music, I hit the court running, yeah. To the Lord take me away, I truly do my best, that's all that I can say. And pray my good deeds outweigh my shortcomings. In this real music, I hit the court running. I have only one wish in this world, to leave a legacy for my boys and my girls. Make sure my life meant something more than just the money. You may see me crack a smile, but ain't nothing really funny. Why? I got 2 sticks and a stone trying to build a castle. Mephistopheles asked, is it worth the hassle? Well, I'd rather leave the truth than the lie to y'all. The first time I ever let my pen cry for y'all. Yeah. When the Lord takes me away, I truly did my best, that's all that I can say. And pray my good deeds outweigh my shortcomings. In this real music, I hit the court running, yeah. To the Lord take me away, I truly do my best, that's all that I can say. And pray my good deeds outweigh my shortcomings. In this real music, I hit the court running. Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello out there, everybody. I hope everybody's out there tuning in to Sunday edition of Nation Villain. Today's topic is we're going to be talking about AIDS and the blue waffle. If you guys don't know what that is, you'll know about it in just a minute, the blue waffle. And we're just going to talk about and discuss. If you have anything, if you have any questions out there, what you should do is press 1 on your keypad, and then I'll see the question mark. I can announce you. So if you got any questions, just press 1. I'm going to get started right now. We got Brother Efron on the phone. We got Sister X on the phone and Sister Gidget. So that's our panel. And if anybody has any questions, like I said, you know me already. Just push one on your phone. I'm DJ Black Caesar, and I will address you. All right? Thank you. Sister Gidget, take it away.
Assalamu alaikum. And good evening to my distinguished panel, Sister Peggy X. James, who is out of Shannon, Mississippi. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and we also have with us this evening, we have back with us our other family member, Brother Efron Cherry, who is out of Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York, the street educator.
That's right. So I would like to say assalamu alaikum to our listening audience and to our nation-building family. I want to say hujambo to my Kenyan family. I want to say kudu to my Nigerian family who listens at 4 o'clock in the morning our time, but they listen just the same. So I love you all and I appreciate you all. So, Sister Peggy, how's your Ramadan coming?
Ramadan is going pretty well so far. I have a few sweating moments, sister, but I get through it.
And I understand DJ Black Caesar is also doing Ramadan. So, DJ Black Caesar, how's your Ramadan coming?
Hey, my Ramadan is going great, sister. Thank you for asking. Everything is correct. Hey, man, I'm sorry right now, man. So when I got off the phone with you guys, I got to eat.
And I pray that everybody's having a successful Ramadan. Are you doing Ramadan, Brother Efron? I don't know what your faith is, so I've never asked. But in the
no, I'm not actually doing Ramadan at this moment. No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. No problem. Okay. So our topic this evening, you all, we're going to be talking about HIV and AIDS, and we're also going to talk briefly about this new wave disease that is rumored to be a sexually transmitted disease known as a STD. I don't want to say sexually transmitted disease again. So for those of you who don't know, we're going to call it a STD from here on out. So It's rumored to be an STD, but my studies have found that it's not necessarily so, but we will be talking about that. I want to begin with this. We're just having a conversation. I want to begin with this. In 2009, blacks represented 50.4% of all new infections diagnosed. And the fact that we are saying 50.4% of all blacks. It does not include our Latino or our Asian brothers and sisters or our indigenous brothers and sisters. So that's just those who are titled African American people. And, you know, that came to a total in the year of 2009. I think it says 466,829 persons were diagnosed with HIV in 2009. And I found that to be quite disturbing since this is not a new disease. And oftentimes we are aware that it is contracted through intravenous drug use, it's contracted through indulging in sexual activity, and in those rare cases, during a blood transfusion or from mother to infant. And, you know, as much impact as AIDS have had on our community, on our world, here we are in 2009 having 466,000 people diagnosed. And those are new diagnoses. Now, that number is worldwide. But that's still an alarming number, even if it's not exact. If it's anywhere near close, if it's half, It's a very alarming number. So I want to get Brother Efron's take on that. What do you think is going on? And, you know, why are we still contracting HIV at such an alarming rate?
Wow. It's very shocking, to be honest with you, to know something of that nature is in existence. And we have a great number of people that's not doing everything they can to safeguard themselves and to enhance the safety of the next generation. However, when you do the historical search on it, you'll find that the first time I learned anything about the AIDS was in the 80s. And I learned how it was affecting the lives of the people in Africa. I was a young mind that was, you know, totally uneducated enough to be able to take it seriously, but I briefly heard enough to hear that it existed. And I didn't learn until recently that, you know, this is an all-out assassination of a people, and they were experimenting with, you know, the people of my culture, people of the dark persuasion. And the thing that hurts your heart more than anything else is that how do we get at this point in life, the supposed to be more educated minds, morally upright minds, how do we become more gullible now than ever before behind something that the mind of another man or another human being had created to be able to assassinate you, to cripple you, and then to gain the need of your weakness to its power. So, like I said, the more I hear of it, the more it hurts, to be honest with you, and I'm still learning a lot as I go along, but the part, like I said, that hurt me more than anything else is that we seem to be a very sick mind people, because the more you hear of it, the more you learn, the more you see, the more demoralized we're becoming till we're dating each other like we're going to the movies, man. Like we're going out just for dinner for a night, with no concerns, you know, about the well-being of a person after that particular evening.
Wow.
When it comes down to it, that's my main concern. What truly has happened to the mind of a people? What truly has happened?
Yes, sir. Sister Peggy, give us your insight on that.
Well, I agree with everything the brother just said. It does hurt your heart. And I was looking over some information that goes back to 1930 when they say researchers guess that sometimes in 1930s a form of a simian immune deficiency virus jumped into humans in Central Africa. Now, just that sentence alone gave me an attentive ear to what brother was saying, because I don't like the idea of saying that this originated in Africa, but let's just say it may have. However, how did it get here? And as you were quoting those statistics, Sister Gidget, 466,829. So it's alarming, and it brings me back to some basic biblical instruction or warning, if you will. And I'm not trying to get religious, but it has to be said because it's a fact.
Yes, ma'am.
It's truth. In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, beginning at the 58th verse, God says something like this. He says, "If you will not observe to do all the words of the law, that you may glorify and fear my name, then I will make plagues wonderful and plagues of thy seed and even greater plagues and long continual sicknesses and long continual diseases. And he will bring upon you the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cling unto you. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will come upon you." So it has its root right there in rebellion. And disobedience.
Yes, ma'am.
I say that because medically you talked about some of the ways it can be contracted, sexual disease and things like that. I was reading a report that came out of Canada that said a cook that worked in a restaurant kept a jar of urine back there. She was infected. But if somebody sitting at the table got rude with her or talked to her uncomely, she would spit and pour some of her urine in their food.
I heard of that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Wow. I'm trying to keep my headpiece on. Just bear with me 1 second. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm just okay. All right. We're not gonna go there. But okay. I mean, you know, and another thing that they don't talk about, you know, sometimes, you know, we just take what we hear and we run with it and we declare to be truth and etched in stone. But I remember distinctly that they said in the beginning that you could not contract AIDS from shaking someone's hand or embracing them, or you could not by any means contract AIDS from kissing. But what I learned through other studies that I did some years ago when I was teaching some of juveniles that I was actually working with, some young children, it is actually a falsehood that you cannot contract AIDS through kissing, because one of the diseases that actually develops during HIV stage, during the HIV stage of AIDS, is gingivitis.
Right.
And gingivitis will cause your gums to bleed.
That's true.
So even though you might not see it, that blood source is there. And, you know, they saying that it's not in saliva, however, it is a part of you.
That's right.
So let's keep it real, people, okay? And, you know, that's why I always say the restrictive laws are our success. But
yes,
those of you who may not be in the Nation of Islam, if you don't know what the restrictive laws is, let me give you the short version. Obedience to God. Okay? Obedience to God. That means abstinence. That means no fornication, no adultery prior to marriage. So for those of you who are not aware of the restrictive laws of Islam. And so it just speaks to how important it is and how distant we have become from the law that God established. And like Sister said, we don't want to get religious, but hey, we got to tell it the way it is. Because
right,
obedience to God is the only way that you're going to defeat the things that are to come.
That's right.
And that's just real talk.
That's
okay,
right.
Let me. Did you want to say something, Peggy? Go ahead.
No, brother, I'll yield to you. Sounds like you had a thought there.
I wanted to say... When you said from a religious perspective, I wanted to make it very clear that it breaks my heart that every time I hear someone say religion, that automatically they see it as a need to separate themselves from each other, look as though there's something alienating about that title alone, when most people don't understand. Religion is just a word. And when you understand, intelligently comprehend the realities of religion, religion only means a way of life. So whatever it is you're doing, every open ear out there, every open mind, whatever it is that you're doing, that is your religion. Holy gambler, that's your religion. Prostitute, that's your religion. O ye mind that has a high regard for that that created you, that is your religion. Religion means your way of life, that the way that you live in is your religion. Why do you
That's
think the
right.
mind of a person, especially the next generation of youth, take on a new religion with low regards for human life, and they're out here today with not even a frown on their face, taking each other's lives? People are not paying close attention to the raw reality. We have more than unbelievable. We have more than, and it just breaks your heart. These young brothers and sisters out here taking each other's lives, and one half is in the grave. The other half is behind bars.
Come on.
And then when you turn around and look at it, it has become a religion because you see nothing wrong with it. So you get up the next day and you're doing it. You just finished having intercourse with this person. You're impregnated by this person. A couple of months before you even give birth, you and that person do not get along. You're laying down with another person. All you know is that one of them had AIDS, but which one, you're not sure. That is unbelievable.
Hmm.
It doesn't even, the morality, the human consciousness, all of it tells you your religion has become that of, I'm not going to just say Satan, because then everyone would sit back and think that I'm just trying to tell them to say hallelujah. What I'm saying is that your religion has become a corrupt way of being self-destructive. So your
It is self-destructive.
It's suicide. Your religion is suicide.
If I may interject, and I'm sorry for interrupting. If I may interject here, in defense of our young people, not upholding how they're living, but remembering that they are a reflection of what we taught them, which
Amen.
Is perhaps nothing. We were all, and I say we in generalizing as the generation ahead of our children. You know, we, Martin Luther King, forged a path through, and we were united on the same common cause of pain, and we were civil to one another. We loved each other. We respected life. And once we got on the other side of civil rights, so to speak, some of us were invited into the slave master's businesses. Some of us were given jobs inside the house. And most of us were kept outside in the fields or the factories. So that became a big gap between us. Those of us who were invited inside to the so-called secretary jobs, we separated ourselves and we moved out from among our people into their neighborhoods, and they moved out as we came in. What happened, we were so busy pursuing the so-called promised land that we left our children to themselves. And Scripture says a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So it all goes back to God gave Moses a commandment. He said, when you get over here, I want you to tell the people to teach their children what I have done. Teach your children their history, how you got here, what happened, and what it's going to take to stay here. We did none of that. So our children are a reflection of what they were taught.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. I mean,
and you know, and it goes back to the sins of the father, so to speak.
That's right.
Because, you know, this goes back generation after generation after generation. And at the end of the day, when you look at the condition of the minds of the people, it goes right back to the plantation when the slave master was letting you know that your life had no value. And
That's
still,
right.
here we are, not 200 years out of slavery, but we still do not have any value of our own. For our own. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do and a short period of time to do it, people. And, you know, we have become so desensitized to AIDS. You know, we hear AIDS and HIV, and we think we have arrived. We know everything. We know how it's contracted. You know, we know how to prevent it. We think we're so good. Now we can look at people and tell who has it and who doesn't. And if you cough, you got it. And if you itch, you got it. And if you big and fat, you don't have it. We have to educate ourselves continuously. And for those of us who are in the Nation of Islam, you have to remember that Master Farah Muhammad left basically one picture for us, and that is one of him studying.
That's right.
It's not just symbolism. There's a message there. Let me just move forward, because you think that's something that I just shared with you about the statistics. That was in 2009, Sister Peggy and Brother Efron. Now, since 2012, it's still here. Let's see what happened in 2011. In 2011, 230,000 African Americans died.
That's right.
In 2011, we're talking about 1 year. In 2011, 1 million were diagnosed. So that's not including the people that haven't been tested. That's not the people who, you know, who really don't know what's going on with their bodies. They might be ill or whatever, but these are the people that have been diagnosed. And then they said that in 2011, that African Americans made up 40% of the total deaths in the U.S. And I mean, and you know, that's not all HIV and AIDS, but in total, African Americans made up 40% of all deaths in the United States. But yet, we are only considered to be 13% of the population. There's a problem with that number.
Now, I was going to say, now, whose statistics is that?
Well, this comes from earth.org, which is a site that I basically go to because they have a lot of, you know, African-American researchers who actually go out into the communities, who actually pull the clinical records. We don't want to go through the U.S. Department of Justice, and they give us some random number. And that's why I like avert.org, and it's A-V as in Victor, E-R-T .org. If you ever want to go there and get some real statistics as close as possible on the African American community, because this is what this organization does. It really studies the statistics in our community. And so that's where I pull my resources from. But even if it's not accurate, even if they're off 200,000, 300,000, it don't matter. The fact
for every one life really matters. That's right. For every one life matters.
That's right.
So with those numbers, even being able to put that number out there and say that it's accurate means that they had to get this number from somewhere. So whether it's not 230,000, but say it's 230, say it's 23, it's still too much loss of life in our community. But what is alarming to me is that we're 40% of the deaths, but only 13% of the population. And to me, it could be just me, but to me, this is by design.
Amen.
It's got to be. And maybe I'm being, you know, superstitious, maybe I'm overreacting, whatever. However, this don't even make sense to me. It don't make sense to me.
I know.
And tell me how you feel about that, Sister Peggy. We 13% of the population, yet we're 40% of the death total in 1 year.
Yes, ma'am. That's crushing. But I believe it.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're right. it is by design. And I don't know this to be any valid statistics, but I would venture to say that at least half of that 40% or more are young people in their 20s or below. And it makes me think about the command that goes out in a province every time news comes of a savior or another kingdom to rise in the midst of one. Pharaoh did it. He sent out an order and said, kill all the boy babies. When Jesus was born, Herod sent out the same order and said, kill all the boy babies. Now, that may be literally or figuratively. However, our babies are being slaughtered. We, who can't stay out of somebody else's kitchen, are dying. So it is by design. I heard the minister say the devil comes at us through our senses, mainly through our taste buds. You know, our sexual desires and food. And I remember we became so rebellious and outrageous during the time Burger King was running that commercial, Have It Your Way. It was playing on the radio and on the TV 24/7. And once it got ingrained into the minds of those who absorbed it, we started having it our way. We started having life our way. And most of was in total disrespect for the God who came to give us life. We started doing it our way. And so, yes, we're dying. And it bothers me. It hurts me. It hurts me. But it goes back to that basic thing that you said, and I think we all elaborated on it. We got to come back to God. We got to.
Yes, ma'am.
We got to love it. And we got to know who he is so that we'll know what to come back to. But, sister, I'm not getting off of the AIDS thing. 1 million diagnosed. 1 million in 2011. 1 million. Now think of all the people each of those million came in contact with and infected. That's scary.
I'm sorry, sister. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then the one that they infected went off and infected somebody else. So here we have a chain reaction, a domino effect happening. Look at it. That's what I thought about when you said it. 1 million were diagnosed, and I know over half of them did not tell anybody they were diagnosed. I read an article that said when people, they did a survey or some kind of clinical test, psychological test on those who were diagnosed with AIDS and found that they become angry and decide, if I got to die, I ain't dying by myself. So they infect others intentionally. A dentist by the name of, oh, God, what is his name? David Acer. He infected Kimberly Begalis. She died in 1991. I don't know if any of you remember.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. He was a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
It was later determined that he did it deliberately.
Yes, sir.
He let blood drip in her mouth on one of his pricked fingers intentionally. Wow, it is scary.
Wow. Brother Efron.
The real reality. I'm enjoying every piece of what you put on the floor. I tell you, this is the true wake-up call of war. If you understand enough to be able to say I'm going to use my common sense, if you're going to utilize this common sense and understand that how is it possible at one stage it didn't exist but now it's in existence and it's taking the very lives of a people, how is it that you are not doing everything you can to safeguard the very life of you? They had another instance where a brother, his feelings was hurting over something that supposedly a girl did him. So he was jumping from one girl to the next girl, intentionally giving her the disease AIDS. He was sentenced about a couple of years ago, I believe maybe 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, but he was sentenced to life behind bars. And he affected a great number of different young women. Now, here's the next thing that's unbelievable. You ask yourself if you understand what it is to be endangered with something of that nature. Then you turn around and ask yourself, do you know what it really is to say you really want love? Then you turn around and ask yourself, humanly, consciously, what is it that really makes you attractive to me? What is it that really stimulates that energy inside of me that makes me want to be a part of you? When you really take a good look at that, it is the most dangerous thing in the mind to understand the war and how we are losing that war. You have certain individuals that believe because this guy appears to be of a certain complexion, a certain height, and because he has a certain build, that to a little bit of every female, he is the most attractive-minded person in the world, and they will jeopardize their marriage. They will jeopardize a good relationship. They will destroy their very life just to be able to hold his hand and spend the night. Now, you tell me psychologically, the realities of the whole values of war in the mind, telling you what living is all about, the true value of what life is all about. What good is sitting up there praising a diamond if you won't even praise your existence? I have never seen a diamond go to the graveyard and tell you, I came to get you as you went and bought me. We are of the same value. I have never seen it. Here's the next shocking thing to go along with it. Just a few months ago, there was a white man on the news, and he was announcing how finally they came up with something to rid themselves of AIDS, and he will not be taking the medicine anymore. He will not have to be, he don't need any type of medication or anything pertaining to the healing of AIDS because they have come up with something that supposedly rid you completely, completely proclaiming of AIDS. Now, I had a chance to be able to look at this particular piece here. I didn't get all the information on it, so I don't want to wrongfully give anyone the wrong information. However, when it came down to it, he was almost talking about a blood transfusion.
Hmm.
Well, that's not nothing new. Blood transfusions has been in motion for a great number of years for a great number of healing.
Yes, sir.
What people also didn't tell you is that in the process of the blood transfusion, you also doing the blood germ transing, exchanging, interacting, and planting it back into another. So when the person came on with that, I really wanted to know, was this particular person psychologically using this as an opportunity to be able to make another people weaker, more vulnerable, more gullible than ever before? So that you'll morally think less of AIDS, you'll think less of any transmitted diseases till you literally jump up and justify the okayable reasons to be bisexual, the justifiable reasons to be outside of the whole realities of marital status with the true foundation and nature of family. Is that one of the psychological games that's being planned in the minds of people to make that really, really successful exist? So I said, revelation. I tell a great number of people, pay close attention to it, because I'm not like a lot of other people. I don't get caught up with reading the biblical context of it so that I can turn around and tell somebody how spiritual and uplifting and enlightenment it was to me. Psychologically, it makes good sense to me. And when I understand intelligently that it is revealing something that makes good sense, I say it's almost as if someone is telling you the law. If you're breaking the law is already designed. If you're breaking the law, they will make you pay the price for it. And you can't plead your case but so well because they find you guilty. So if you are rightfully, I ain't talking about wrongfully now, I'm talking about the rightfully charged. Revelation is rightfully charging those of them that has opened their minds, opened their hearts, opened their morality, opened the human values of existence to the most corrupt, the most belittling, the most devious means and ways of being able to interact with one another. And at that stage, and his revelations, well, before we even thought about it, before I was even born, before we even understood, the revelations was already imprinted, and it spoke about the realities of what AIDS, transmitted diseases, the effects of these things that are affecting your mind. What is it to be reduced to something that literally destroys you? This thing was already written, and now today we are literally living it. Am I still making sense?
Oh, yeah.
So when it comes down to it, I'm very proud to have a mind that's telling us this evening about the effects of AIDS, the understanding and the insight that she has, and how important it is for us to give all praise to that gives life, that gives life to everything in existence. I mean from the trees to the waters to your breathing human mind.
Hey, brother,
I'm sorry.
Brother Ephraim, we have from our audience member, 615. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
I got something to do with this.
615, go ahead and ask your question, please.
What?
Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum assalam.
Salaam alaikum, brothers and sisters. I've been listening very intently. I want to say, touch on just very quick. I'm not going to talk long. My name is Sister Michelle Forex. I'm in the Nation of Islam, a follower of Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. May peace and blessings be upon him. Sister Gidget, she was making a statement about, like, as she started off her programs, asking why AIDS has increased in people, black people in particularly. And that made me, my mind go back to something I read about how the AIDS virus has also, of course, increased in the continent known as Africa. And one of the things, as they did the studies, they found that because many African people were suffering in the way of poverty and all kinds of oppressiveness from the foreign powers and such in the land, and the wars, the tribal wars, and things like this was causing them to have sex even more, and that they were using this as a way to escape, in a sense, from their pain and their sorrow and disappointment, seeing as though that was the only thing they felt like they had. I mean, they didn't struggling to get food, struggling to have shelter, but sex is so easy to get. All you need is a willing partner. And so when I think about that, that makes me think about that's what exactly is happening also in America. As we know, America is in a serious unemployment situation for the people. I mean, even with a college degree, you're not guaranteed that you're going to have that position when you finish. A lot of people are disappointed. So I believe that the increase of AIDS is also because a lot of people are just like forgetting about the warnings, but just thinking about immediate gratification, immediate relief. And in that sense, also going to what the other sister was teaching about going when she was coming out of the Bible from the teachings of God about rebellion. And so if we always hasten for immediate gratification, therefore, in that position, we're likely to rebel against God because God is always counseling us to be patient. And so if we're just constantly looking for immediate gratification, then we're likely to rebel. And so that's why I believe AIDS has increased in black people and people in general because the people in the world are depressed. The people in the world are disappointed. And we are heading towards the end of this world order. So, I mean, these are signs of the times. Plagues, disease, the wrath of God is upon the people of the earth as we speak. But thank God
that's
his mercy is still present. And so if people would just realize that as long as you're still alive, you still have a chance to repent and be saved and healed. There are black people in Africa who have testified that they have used a certain herb or medicine that was found in Africa of which they took and were healed from AIDS. There is no way that God can't heal a human being. God is is the repairer of souls and the repairer of minds and flesh. So I would say to those who are suffering from such things, repent to Allah. Ask Allah to forgive you of your sins, protect you from your sins, and heal you because he is a healer. and believe that the power is in you. The healing power is within ourselves. Me and myself, I can bear witness. When I'm sick, I pray, but then God gives me this common spirit now and reminds me the healing power is in you. Say be, and it is. And I command that pain to go away in the name of Almighty Allah, and he brings me relief. So that's my testimony about being healed from the diseases. It starts with submitting to Allah, the one true God. We cannot submit to his servant, Jesus or Muhammad, and think that is where we will find deliverance. For Allah is a jealous God when it comes to serving him. He is
That's
the one God.
Right.
He is the one that we must all turn to. He will have no partners beside him, and none of his messengers or prophets can do anything without his permission. So thank
That's
you for
right.
giving me this time. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Okay, sister, what's your name?
Wa alaikum assalam, sister. But before you hang up, sister, before you finish, I'd like to be able to say I'm in total agreement with what you put on the floor, and I'm praised by the idea that you feel that strongly and moved by it. But I'm the type of mind of a man that will tell you that the Creator had said, I made you in the like image of myself, and he gave you the intellectual ability to place the healing upon yourselves by doing the things that is needed to remove yourself of the sicknesses that is destroying you. So I tell everyone, AIDS is a man-made disease. AIDS is a man-made disease. And if that mind that made AIDS is a challenge of your intellectual ability to be able to destroy you, intelligently being like that created you, you have to come up with the intellectual ability to come up and find that will take that away, resolve you, that will heal you, that will relieve you of these deadly things. And our people are not doing the research. Our people are not doing the redesigning of something to be able to rid themselves of them things, to heal themselves of them things, yet our people are the most gullible people of the demoralizing ways of living that makes them ever so vulnerable. So my thing is I say, it is a beautiful thing to believe in your pray, but God made it very clear, your action will speak louder as your words. Please tell each and every one of them, the healing that we need, I need you to do more than just pray with me. I need you to intellectually enhance your intelligence, enhance your intellectual ability, enhance your understanding so that we can heal the mind of the next generation so they'll do something with their minds that's not so suicidal. You have these things out here that's just as bad as AIDS, self-destruction. You have never seen so many young black kids picking up the guns and feeling good about destroying themselves. Yet you have more supposedly active mind people in God establishments around them. I have more churches, I have more this, I have more that. Meanwhile, I have more jails busting at the scene, and I have more young minds destroying themselves. I have more broken relationships, young children of the day growing up don't even know who daddy is. And if they are growing up and do know daddy, they don't have no respect for daddy because daddy don't have. He ain't nothing but a broke old man. So when it comes down to it, I say, along with AIDS, this sickness, this deadly sickness that's just destroying us as a people, needs us to get together and intellectually come up with the mind that believes in the healing and intelligently apply it so that we can be able to save the next generation so that they can safeguard and save themselves.
I like that, brother, but I have to uphold prayer. Because prayer is what connects us to the supreme mind to guide us in the direction where the healing is. We of ourselves can do nothing. And we are blind, deaf, and dumb, as you're talking about the masses of the people, blind, deaf, and dumb. You don't expect a blind person to see anything or a deaf person to hear anything. And a dumb person cannot speak. So the blind cannot lead the blind. So if there are church on every block, it just verifies the statement that the blind cannot lead the blind. We must uphold prayer. Prayer is needed. It's a psychological defense also.
That's
we connect to our supreme creator through prayer, conversation.
That's right. I'm in total agreement with you, sister. All I want to do is just work with you so that we can care for my lands and care for my sheep.
But let me say this, y'all. You know, and let's we're gonna talk about Africa for a minute, and we're going to talk about African, so-called African Americans. Our people die from the lack of knowledge.
That's right.
The same condition that the enemy created for us in the hells of North and South America is
That's
the
right.
same hell that was created in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So they are under the same oppression and under the same oppressor as we are over here.
Amen.
And we call Africa the homeland. But in the words of Minister Farrakhan, Africa is a bigger slave today than she's ever been.
That's
because
right.
all of her resources, all of her riches, all of her value is going to somewhere and someone else that doesn't even look like those that
Amen.
Live in Africa.
Amen.
So you have to understand that these things that they go and they pursue, if they go and find our diamonds and our gold and our plants that heal us, they are extracting those resources out and they are creating conditions that destroy our people.
That's right.
That's the reality.
That's
and that is the true concept. That is the true reality of the power. Willie Lynch made it very clear.
People who do
Willie
not
Lynch.
Turn to God. They do not turn to prayer because they are oppressed. And
That's
they
right.
don't know. But for those of us that do know,
yeah.
it is on our shoulders.
That's right.
Amen.
That we
Care for
are
my
responsible
land.
For
there
educating them and reaching back and getting our people. That is
That's
our
right.
job.
That's
so
right.
for those of us that are lost, what does the minister say? He say, go and fish for those.
That's right.
He don't open the door to the mosque and say, y'all come in. He sends the brotherhood and the sisterhood out to fish for those.
That's right.
Master Farouk Muhammad didn't say, come to me. He came for us.
That's right. That's right.
So we have to be proactive in educating our people because our people are dying from the lack of knowledge. Now,
right.
we taking up some time. We need to move on. I just want to share just a few more statistics, and I'm going to get off statistics for a minute. But as it relates to this subject, it is estimated in 2012 that one out of every 16 black males will contract HIV or be diagnosed with HIV this year. It is estimated that one in 30 African American women will also be affected, compared to one out of every 104 white males versus one out of 588 white females. And they said that 60%, and this is what we're going to talk about for real. We're going to talk real girl talk right now. Brother Efron, hold on. 60%
I'm quiet. I'm listening.
Of the AIDS victims today are women. Now, let me tell you why I want to talk on that. 60% of the victims that are diagnosed with AIDS today are women. Well, for those of you who may not be in the Nation of Islam, hold on, because those of us who have been all my life, I was taught from a very early age that a nation can rise no higher than its woman.
That's right.
We as women are the first educator of all children,
That's
male
right.
and female.
That's right.
And it's out of our nurturing and out of our loving and out of our tender handling and care that will fashion a God.
That's right.
But if we have forgotten
Uh-huh.
or whether we never knew the value of being being a woman. Let me tell you today that this is no ego trip, but we are the closest beings to God himself.
I'm sorry, sister, could you help me with that piece? Say that again. The sister, the woman, say that piece again, please.
She is the closest being to God himself. The way that we are made, the work and the development that God put in the creation of the woman is closest to his likeness than he did for the man.
Ah, you go, girl.
Why is that so? Because the man who is birthed from the mother have a mother. He has to be nurtured by a woman. And in order for a man to get every entity of God in him, he had to put that entity in her to give to him.
Amen.
And his father will continue to fashion him into a God, but he had to first give it to the mother because the development begins where? It begins in the mind of God, and it develops in the womb of the woman. You don't start mothering a child when it comes out of the womb. You start mothering a child when it's in the womb.
That's right.
So we have to be clear about our value. And I'm going to put it to you, and if it hit and it hurt, then it's too bad, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You know just as well as I know that that 15 minutes of fame that he gets is not.
So is it all right if black man like me get afraid?
That he gets is not worth you displeasing God.
Is it all right if a black man like me?
Your life.
Is it all right if this black man get praise to the womb? Is it all right if a black man like me give all praise to the womb?
Yes, sir. But I'm speaking seriously to my sisters right now. Whether you Nation of Islam, Lost Found, I don't even care if you atheist right now. Because if you're sleeping with my brothers and you're not caring about who you're sleeping with and how you're coming in contact with these people and where they've been, if you have no value over your own life, I know you don't have any value on any life that you're associated with.
That's
not
right.
Only that, you're putting yourself in a position of death, then who's going to raise your babies?
That's right.
Who's going to raise and love and nurture and care for your babies? And let's talk about the babies. You go out there, you go sleep with Johnny Ray. Johnny Ray got HIV. You got HIV. Now little Johnny Ray got HIV.
That's
you
right.
are a living death. A living death. And we have to stop this, y'all.
Yes,
we
do.
We have to stop this.
Yes, we
welcome
do.
To the war.
This is not something that you can be passe about, and Sister Gidget is on the radio screaming about AIDS, and this is an old issue. No, it's not. It's not an old issue when we're burying 40% of our population due to AIDS, something that
That's
is
right.
very preventable.
That's right.
And like my father used to say, the opposite of sense is nonsense, and this is some nonsense going on here.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Caesar, do we have any questions?
Yeah, we have a question from a person. Let me open their phone lines up. 508, go ahead and ask your question, please.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, this is pretty, you know, it's been a long-going theme here, you know, prevalently since, you know, the early 80s, you know, and this lack of knowledge and misdirection and more or less people, you know, tending to get straight towards doing negative things and carrying on and not, like, trying to take heed to something that's productive and positive. I mean, opposition is extremely fierce, you know, to, you know, be it the, you know, Hollywood or the music industry, you know, which pretty much, you know, raises guys and directs, you know, our youth, you know, to make decisions that they do, you know, these Pollyanna cavalier decisions they, you know, continuously make, be it, you know, through, you know, sexual behaviors or just behaviors in general. There's been like a, you know, a rapid rate of what they're doing is it's going to these malls and mass abundance and stealing things, you know, and carrying on and having these real foul behaviors. I mean, at a point in time, I was, you know, I was active in the mosque, and what can we do, you know, what can we do to, you know, to really, to, you know, it seems as though we're at a worse stage in life right now as blacks, you know, than we were in the 30s. I mean, we have a lot more, you know, self-hatred than we did, you know, even, you know, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, people
Someone
disassociate themselves with even being there's so many different branch also of, you know, separation is more or less. I mean, there's no, I mean, from, you know, from the, you know, from back in the music time, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, there was, you know, even up until like the 90s, and they just seem to have this theme of, you know, demasculating the men, you know, they're all, you know, walking around with these pants on, you know, undersized and being behaving with all this this feminine energy, you know, and I know things stems more or less too from like a, you know, not a, you know, two parent household and all that, but I mean, then again, I'm like in the 40-year-old demographic, and more or less we had, you know, a pretty much community family, you know, more if you were behaving, you know, out of line, I mean, someone on that block was gonna, you know, check you essentially to say, you know, hey, what's going on? I know you have your people, and you were, you know, you were pretty much disciplined twice. By the time, you know, the neighbor hit you with a stick on the tail end, you were getting it by the time you got back home by your parents again. I mean, it's, there's a big disconnect, and it seems, I don't know if there's any just shouting from the soapbox or if anyone's, you know, getting it. There's no direct connection anymore. I mean, where are we failing?
Well, I can answer that for you, brother, if you allow me. What's your name, sir?
Justice.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Nice name, sir. Let me explain something to you, because you asked a very profound question when you say we're in worse condition than we were, and you're in the 40-year-old demographics, and so am I. And I remember those days when our neighbors would look out for each other, and you know, all the children had 15 mothers and 15 fathers, because every adult on the block was equal to your parent. But let me tell you what happened. In 1986, 87, I think that's when it went national with this new child abuse law. And they made the line so thin that if you moved a certain way and appeared to be aggressive, they called it child abuse. So now the government has stepped in and said to you, black man and black woman, you can't discipline your children.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit them and hurt them, it is abuse. And they have the right to call the police on them. And they're teaching them this in school.
Yeah,
and I shared a story about my daughter calling the police on me. And by the time it was over, I'm not going to tell the story, but by the time it was over, you know, he was like, ma'am, I'll leave you as I came in peace or whatever. He left my house. Because I told him that if I can't discipline her, take her with you, but as long as she's here with me, she's going to obey. And whatever I got to do to make her obey, that's the rule. Now, you got your rule and I got mine. If you want her that bad, take her with you, because if I don't beat the hell out of her now, you're going to beat the hell out of her later, and you ain't going to put no love in it. So this is what has happened with our children, and now we're almost two generations in, and our children are out of control because there has not been a rod of discipline that we've been able to establish. The children go through an animalistic stage where they don't understand language, and the only thing they understand is consequences for their actions. That's just like when your one-year-old tries to touch the stove, and they don't understand stop, and they don't understand no, but they understand a little tap on the hand that, no, that's not what's supposed to happen. And when they're not necessarily comprehending language, and you try to talk to them, and they keep doing the same thing, so you show them that there are consequences for their actions. And I agree, there is a line when it comes to abuse, but you have to be able to discipline your children, because if not, this is the result. You have a savage nation. You have a savage nation. When they brought us from Africa in chains, we were so used to being free, and let's reverse it to the mindset of the slave master. We were so used to being free. We were struggling against the chains. We couldn't even swim back across the water, but we were just trying to break free. What did they do? They beat us. They burned us. They beat our men and hung the strongest men in front of the rest of the slaves, so that you can understand that there are consequences for you trying to run away.
That's right.
But now here we are, 25, 30 years later, and our generations are out of control. Brother, it's not by accident.
That's right.
It's not by accident that they've done that. When the government comes into your household and tell you how to raise your children, and they still got church versus state or religion versus state, where the government can't tell you how to worship, but they can tell you how to raise your children? I don't think so.
That's right.
That law has never applied to me. And it shouldn't apply to any parent that gives any kind of care and concern for their children. Because at the end of the day, all our children's going to be little Rodney Kings, going to be getting beat up in the street by the police because we ain't beat them at home. And they're not going to even understand. We have to be responsible, and that's why we have to call for an exodus today, because if we don't establish a government for ourselves, the government that we're under is designed to destroy us, and they will be successful.
That's right. I bear witness.
May I?
That's right.
Yes, sir. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to get emotional, brother. I'm sorry. It's just that some things really touch me. And Brother Justice, thank you for calling in with your comment and your question. Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Efron.
I'm reaching out to everyone, but mainly to the young brother that just now was speaking on behalf of. The number one thing that you have to always remember is that you become a role model. You become an example. And once you become conscious enough to understand that you're in a war, you understand the greatest power that Satan ever used is the power of suggestion. And he's going to continuously suggest in the mind of you what you should do to destroy yourself. You think all the way back to the stages of when we were a people that was trying to figure out just what it is to be a man. I remember the 70s. And when you see, right to this day, some of the movies, you have to be a player. You have to dress a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to have X amount of girlfriends. None of them things says anything about the values of family. None of them says anything about maintaining the reality of your cultural ties. So if you intelligently sit down and weigh that, you'll understand that the true psychology of Willie Lynch was always in motion. He said, I'm not going to beat you with the chain anymore. I'm going to beat you with the psychological ability to make you do to yourselves what I want you to do to yourselves so that I can control you. And if you really take a look at that, you'll understand how I went from dope to crack, how I went from complete family to broken family, how I went from a people that was fighting to maintain their lives to a people that's committing self-destruction. How do you get to a people of today, right to this very day, that takes more pride in saying that I came from the prison as opposed to I just came from the university, or I just came from the church, or I just came from the masjid? You'd rather be prouder, and as a matter of fact, you were accepted quickly by just telling someone you out of the penal. When you take a good look at it, we are a people in war, And those of you that are conscious enough, those of us that's in this conversation at this very moment, you are the shepherds. You are truly the shepherds. And your job is to be able to continuously strengthen even me. You are strengthening me. You are giving me the reasons to believe that I have every right to stand up and fight so that I know how good it feels to God just being a man. You know, I'm leave it at this piece right here. You become the most loneliest mind in the world. The more advanced you become, the more conscious, the more caring, the more sensitive you become to humanity, the more lonely you become. I have never been so lonely in my life. It is hard to find one that I can look directly in the very soul of you and see that I can truly trust you. I look in your eyes and I can see that Satan has corrupted your ways of thinking, corrupted your values to the point where you is just as knowledgeable as I am, but your moral principle is so corrupted that I can't even trust you. And for the sake of a dollar, for the sake of a little promotional ideals in this social system, you will stab me in my back.
Mm.
So when it comes
down
to it, we have to really pay close attention to it, brother. I really appreciate you. I'm happy with the idea that I have the mind of a young brother like you on the other end just talking to me this evening. And I say, AIDS, if you don't, brother, by any means, don't let it happen. If you find the right sister, if you already have one, God bless. But if you don't and you do come across one, please enjoy whatever length of time you're on this earth. But don't be in a hurry to bring birth into this world until you found the right body of people to help you rear that child. Otherwise, you're just as sick as all the rest. You're proud to have birth of another child and don't even know what type of community of people you're living in. You don't care about the misery of that child giving to give birth. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate that. This part of the show, we're going to a song. We're going to go into a song real quickly, and then we'll be right back with Sister Gidget, Sister Peggy X, and the brother Efron. They're going to be talking about the waffle. We got a lot to talk about tonight before the show ends, and we got about 46 minutes left. So if you have any questions, like I said before, just press 1, and I'll acknowledge you then. But now we're going to have a song by Sister X. It's called On the Rebound.
Running back and forth. I would love That's right.
So here at the early adolescent stage when they are beginning to know what their hormones can do and know what their bodies are about, they are being diagnosed with HIV. So where's the dormant stage now?
That's a good
question.
Here
they are, 24 years old. They're gone from HIV to full-blown AIDS. What happened to the dormant stage unless the AIDS itself has been enhanced? Well, how is it enhanced?
Good question.
That's my question. That's what I want to know. And most of the women, of course, are ages 15 to 20 years old. Now, just to run down some quick statistics, you know, they say 20% of the men who are affected by heterosexual women. 98% of the men who are gay and bisexual are affected by male partners. Okay, and 48% of black women and 39% of black men have genital herpes. That's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, you never get rid of that. It's just, you know, it just goes on and on. It's not like chlamydia, gonorrhea. You can't get a shot for it. It's just everlasting, and it's with you as long as you're here. And that is a sad fact in our society today. And part of the reason that avert.org research was, they said that there were two main causes. The two main causes were poverty and a lack of accessibility to health care. So now, I'm going to tell you why I got a problem with that. I got a problem with health care. It's nothing we can really do. You either have insurance or you don't. If you get critically ill, you can go to a county hospital or however. There's somebody to treat you. But just for regular health checkups, you know, our society has made it so difficult that, you know, you have to darn near be dead in order to get some medical attention around here. But with HIV, they are plenty of resources for free testing. There are free condoms. So that is no excuse. So I'm not going to even talk about the health care because, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But I am going to talk about this poverty aspect because this is the one thing that I disagree with avert.org about. They said that we are contracting HIV because of poverty. Yet, we buy Nike, we buy Jordan, we buy Adidas, we buy Donna Karen, we buy Vera Wang, we buy Ralph Polo, Ralph Lauren, we buy all this stuff, but we won't buy no condoms. And I'm not condoning premarital sexual relationships. I'm just speaking truth, y'all, because people know they're going to do it anyway.
That's right.
However, have some value of your own life. You
That's
mean
right.
to tell me you're going to spend $100 or $200 on some tennis shoes, but you won't spend $5 on a box of Trojans? I have a problem with that. You mean to tell me you are so anxious for death that you won't go spend $5 to save your life, but you would stay in line for 12 hours, 24 hours to get Michael Jordan shoes? I have a problem with that. Come on, Sister Peggy, talk to me.
Well, Sister, is not much can add to what you've just said, because I, too, have a problem with it. I have a problem that we look for love in all the wrong places. I have a problem that we have a Chinatown and a German town, and you can't be in any of those towns unless you are a consumer. And at nightfall, there'll be nobody in those towns except Chinese and Germans. or whatever kind of town it is. When we compare that to our neighborhoods that are wide open, anybody can come and go as they please. We're not selling anything. In fact, they're selling to us. And our women are vulnerable to this. Most households are manless, either by early death or incarceration. So our women are left vulnerable. And we become prostitutes, and we begin to develop ways and means to extract money from all these visitors that come into our neighborhoods. Some of them themselves carry the disease. I agree with you, sister. I have a
yes,
problem
ma'am.
With as well. Babies.
Brother F.
Having the
no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
I'm gonna yield because we don't have much time, and I'm enjoying listening too. So go ahead, whoever.
Brother Efron, you have anything to say to that?
I really
talk about the blue waffle next.
I wanted to hear that piece when you said there is no poverty because of the sneakers that they're buying. That is what you said, right? There can't be no poverty if you can afford those sneakers. But the most devastating part about this is that the poverty that we live in this day and time is morality. That is the poverty. The moral realities of human value is the poverty of us as a people. We have such low regards for human values, to human life. Morally, you know, most of us don't even care. When you get a great nation of people that has a different history than any other ethical group of people, and they really intelligently, morally understand it, it is not that group of people that you will find. They don't even speak to one another. I mean, realistically, they don't even really interact with one another. They don't really bond with one another. So when it comes down to it, in pursuit of a sense of identity and self-worth within myself, I have to go with those things. I got to keep up with these same brand clothing. I have to keep these materialistic things, even if it's a vehicle, so that I can give myself psychologically some sense of self-value. And when it comes to interacting with someone, the last thing on my mind is a condom, because I really don't see anything wrong with the moment. It's like a person, and I had to tell another person I was talking to a couple of days ago, it never dawns on you until it's a few seconds before it's time for you to leave this world. You don't think about busting that gap when you're shooting at everything that's out here. You run around holding it down, and you got that gangsterous attitude. But suddenly, when you're on that bed in that hospital or on that ground, before they come and tell you that you're breathing your last breath, you fight with every piece of strength you have to see if you can live. I wonder why, at that last second, the last fraction of minutes, you suddenly find yourself being just what God made you, a human being.
Yes,
so when it comes down to it, the morality of that poverty, oh, my God, it is so strong. I think we got to get some food stamps for morality.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the blue waffle now. I just learned, of course, via Brother DJ Black Caesar and Sister Peggy X about the blue waffle on yesterday when we were in conference. And I was so determined to find out what in the world was the blue waffle. And really, if there are any young ears under 18, please move your children away from the computer. Take them off the speakerphone. This is not a conversation for them. And if you have any young men who are, you know, you're a little squirmish, please remove yourselves, because I just want to put it out there. And the only reason I'm even talking about it is because our people, like I say, will die from the lack of knowledge. Okay. Initially, the blue waffle was thought to be a sexually transmitted disease. Every read about 26 different articles on this same thing, and they're all saying the same thing. It is not a sexual transmitted disease. However, what it is a very acute and a very critical form of vaginitis. And Brother Efron, if you got to close your ears, do so. Excuse me.
So my ears is wide open, sister.
Okay. Vaginitis is basically inflammation or swelling of the vagina that is usually caused by some type of infection, whether it be a viral or whether it be a bacterial infection. The blue waffle is a bacterial infection, and the signs and symptoms of it are what a lot of women may have experienced. I don't know. I never have, but they say there's a terrible odor, there's a discharge, but with blue waffle, there's an excruciating pain. And so it kind of resembles what STD would do. However, it's not an STD. It is a bacterial infection that causes the vagina to change, become distorted due to the swelling and the irritation from the bacteria, and sometimes the vagina will turn colors and it will turn blue or purple because of the degree of bacteria. Now, what happens, what the statistics say about the blue waffle is that usually this occurs in women of the night. They call them prostitutes. I'm old school, so I say women of the night, who oftentimes have multiple sex partners who may not necessarily practice good hygiene because they're hopping from person to person to person. They even have some who are just very sensitive to condoms, or either, how can I put this delicately? Well, I'm not going to put it delicately. Sometimes the use of sex toys will cause this infection. So basically, that's what the blue waffle is. It's not something that is contagious, but from what I understand, from what I've read, when a woman is experiencing that infection, she can't have sex anyway because the pain from the infection is so excruciating. And so it's not a sexually transmitted disease, and the only thing I can really say to that, due to what they say causes this, good hygiene, cover down, protect yourselves, be careful. You know, I can't really, I don't want to get that graphic on the show. I'm just thankful that it's not another extreme sexually transmitted disease floating around out there. We need to be informed, people. There are things on the internet that are saying that the blue waffle is this new, you know, killer STD, and it's not. And my purpose for even discussing it to this degree was to inform you that it's not an STD. However, it is a concern for women. Some of the other causes of it can be side effects from diabetes. It's also a side effect of being HIV positive. Also, it is also found that a lot of women who indulge in a lot of processed foods It's diet related as well. So those of you who might go to McDonald's in the morning and Wendy's at lunch and Popeye's chicken in the evening, and you're not getting any good nutrients in your system, that bacteria from all those different places and all those different hands that have handled your food will get into your bloodstream and will also create this infection. So diet is very essential to the cause of this type of infection as well. So it's you know, for my sisters, please maintain your vaginal health. I'm not going to tell you about your hygiene because I shouldn't have to, but, you know, inshallah, you are doing that. Brothers, be careful. I did not find anything that says how it affects men in any kind of way. This was strictly a disease that the female gets. However, you know, it is my wish that brothers, you know, I'm speaking to my lost sound mostly, but I'm speaking to all brothers because I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm not here to name, shame, and blame. I'm not here to say, well, you know, I know the FOI is not doing this or whatever. I'm just saying across the board, brothers, be careful. Look out for yourselves. Look out for the women, because when you take care of yourself and you take care of the women, then everyone is here and able to take care of the children. And that is what is most important. It is my belief that you allow Allah, God, however you believe, Jesus, whoever you believe in, to be sufficient for you. Because it is not worth displeasing God, because the wager of sin is death.
That's right.
And we can't get away from that. So people want to say, well, the Muslims are always preaching and are teaching, and the Christians are always preaching. But let's deal with actual fact.
Mm-hmm.
That when you are disobedient to God, there's a price that you have to pay.
That's right.
That's why we have atonement. That's why we have a time where we can repent. That's why we have a rebirth. Because God is ever merciful. He gives us a chance to redevelop and grow and turn away from our wicked ways every day that we're able to suck breath, but we will not do it. We will just conform to this world, because everything that's in this world is what matters. But that is why this world is going to hell in a handbasket right now, because we have extracted God out of the equation.
That's right.
And these are the results. We have our babies dying from HIV. We're talking about children that haven't even had a chance to know what life is. We have most of our women are dying from HIV, and they're between the ages of 20 to 54 years old. It makes no sense.
That's right.
And if you think that it's some kind of incident or accident, you're incorrect. And that's
right.
Why we have the restrictive laws. And that's why we have how to eat to live. Because you're eating out of other people's kitchens. You don't know what people are doing to your food. Sister Peggy shared with us about how somebody putting urine in your food, but you go and you spend massive amounts of dollars.
That's right.
Well, you could be farming in your own backyard, eating your own food, and know where it's coming from and know who handled it. It's not worth it, people.
That's
We're so hooked on convenience. We want to fry it right quick or put it in the microwave right quick, and you're going to die right quick.
That's right, teach, sister.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not.
And so when we talk about our babies, you know, you want to put them in front of MTV and put them in front of BET, and you wonder why they sex education in your house.
That's right.
But you let them go to the schoolhouse and get it wrong.
That's
but you
right.
won't teach them that in your house. You depend on the TV to teach them because it gives you a little breather. But being a parent has a responsibility that is tied to it, and you don't understand that as you educate that child, you are creating a future. And if you create a future savage, then that's the world that we're going to live in.
That's right.
The same children that you fail to teach today are the ones that's going to blow your brains out tomorrow.
That's right. That's right.
We have to do better than this.
Yes,
we
do.
We have all of the resources. We have all of the education in the world. We go to these institutions of higher learning, and we don't even teach our own babies how to survive.
That's right.
It makes no sense.
That's right.
And it kills me. I mean, literally kills my spirit. Because when I saw those statistics, Sister Peg and Brother F1, and they told me that 13-year-old children were dying from HIV, and then they turned around and say, well, you know, these are not children with blood transfusions. These are not children, you know, who got it from getting some blood pouring into an open wound. These are children who have participated in sexual activity. Well, then, Sister Peggy, the light bulb came on.
Yeah, come on now. Come on.
You mean to tell me that this child has been sexually active since he was 3 years old because you've told us that the disease lies dormant for 10 years? Well, you mean to tell me he's been humping for 10 years?
Come
on
now.
He's 13 years old.
That's right.
Where do you think it's coming from? Feed your children at home.
At home, exactly.
And pick their lunches and let them take their homemade lunches to school.
That's
Stop
right.
taking your babies to Chuck E. Cheese and McDonald's and Whataburger and whatever burger that you want to take them to because you want to entertain them.
Exactly.
And stop letting them watch how they commercialize to our people in particular of how not to eat to live. This
That's
is, you
right.
know, this is how you die, how to eat to die.
That's
so you
right.
let them watch television, and you let them get on the Internet. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, we want our children to be aware of information technology, but there's a responsibility. You got these children who are 13, 14, 12, 10 years of age, got a Facebook page for what?
That's right.
They are exposed to everything. And then we got questions that come from our brother just to say, well, what went wrong? This is what's going wrong.
That's
this is
right.
what's going wrong because children are growing up and they're not being raised and they're not being taught. And then you got the nerve and the audacity as parents to call yourself disappointed. In who?
That's right.
You're disappointed when your son go to jail. You're disappointed when your 15-year-old daughter come up pregnant. Well, who you really disappointed in?
Oh,
that's
my
right.
God.
That's right.
And that's all I'm going to say. I'm done. I didn't mean to go there, but I'm sorry. I just had to put it out there. DJ Caesar, any questions? DJ Caesar? Okay,
brother
maybe
kind of quiet on us.
Hey, sister. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, you're doing tip-top shape. Hey, I'm listening to a female preacher, man. You keep on preaching. Keep talking like it is.
No, it's just some things that I'm really passionate about.
Look, I don't know why we had anybody, why we even invited the guest out tonight because you took on the whole show. We really didn't need y'all tonight, man. I'm like, wow, man.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, Sister Gidget, I just want to introduce somebody. I want to introduce the person that was on the phone with you earlier, that is my that's a good friend of mine. That's Michelle Darlene. Michelle Darlene, your phone line is open if you want to speak. Tell them what you got going on. Tell them about your Blog Talk show and let them know what time it comes on so they can tune into your show. I think your phone. Okay, you're off. Okay. Yeah, tell them about your show, a little bit about your show, what you got going on. I really enjoy your episodes. I've been coming to your show for about a little over a month now. I've been tuning into your shows. So let them know a little bit about your show and what you do.
Oh, okay, brother. I just kicking Corey off guard. I didn't expect that. I was just so deep into listening to Sister Gidget. this program is awesome. I'm loving it. Okay.
Thank you.
You definitely got a follower. I will be back again and again. My
Thank
program,
you, ma'am.
It's called, I titled it The Mothership. And I was, of course, inspired thinking about the mother planes as we've been taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But the topics are not just about the mother plane. They're topics that that are being raised and throughout all the from the minister on down through all the ministers. This is the same topics. I'm talking about the resurrection of our people. I'm talking about the Illuminati. I'm talking about UFOs. I'm talking about white people and the as far as the oppressive state that is still being mentally poured over us. I don't see it as much as a physical thing, but we seem to be bound physically through our mental enslavement. But I'm just trying to do what you and the sisters are doing. I'm trying to do what Mr. Louis Farrakhan told us to do. He said, not only am I a savior, but all of you are saviors, and we all have been charged with the same responsibility as he.
That's right.
That's what it's all about, sister. No question. I love that. That makes me real happy to hear it.
Okay,
yes, ma'am. Well, sister, we need more sisters like you out there. So, you know, you support us, and we'll definitely support you. So tell us what nights and times that you're on.
At this time, sister, I haven't set any specific times because of my own work schedule out. And it's just I work 12-hour shifts. And it can be really hard to schedule a program. So I just go by by the space and time that Allah allows me. So since I have control over the program, it can be tomorrow. It can be 11 o'clock tonight.
Okay, look for me on Facebook. It's under Gidget Aziza Mariam. Send me a friend's request so I can track you, sister, so when you create an event, we can participate.
Yes, ma'am, I appreciate that. I love that. What I usually do is I just post it on Facebook, but I rarely just go tag everybody. And then most times my listeners come in through archives because a lot of people don't know when it's being posted. But by the grace of Allah, a lot of people do receive it after it's posted. But I will do that. I will, inshallah. Try to find you. Do you want to give me your specific name so I can locate you on Facebook?
Sister Gidget, can I just say one thing? I already sent you a link to her Facebook page, so you already have that. So, and I sent you one too, Peggy. I couldn't find Brother Efron online, so I guess you don't have one.
Yeah, he has a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Well, I need you to send
you have a way to be able to reach me. I'm sorry. My mind was somewhere else at the moment, so I'm sorry.
Hey, Brother Efron, you think you can find me on Facebook so I can get you, when I got something going, I can send it to your page and let you know about it?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
You can go to Sister Gidget's page to find me. I'm Caesar, C-E-O Caesar, C-E-Z-A. And you can find me right there, and just add me as a friend because they got me on lockdown right now. I'm on like 27-day lockdown from Facebook.
Facebook's been doing some stuff to me too. Yeah, you know the FBI and the CIA all up in that.
Thank you very much.
Oh, we gonna do a show on that all alone by itself.
Yeah, listen. In the reality that. Yo, in the reality of it all, we all understand what it means when it's documented. God bless the child that has his own.
Yes, sir.
We understand that now, don't we?
Yes.
Our most
yes.
definitely. We're working on it. We're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do we have any questions, Caesar?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, Brother Efron,
my ears
you
is open.
Give us a closing statement? Because we got like maybe 10 more minutes, I think.
Yeah, we got exactly about 10 minutes, right.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, DJ Caesar, play us the song, and we're going to come back with Brother Efron and Sister Peggy's closing our comments, because I'm not going to say nothing. I talked the whole show, so I'm so embarrassed.
can I ask a question real quick?
Waleka.
Yes.
Waleka Salaam.
Yes,
ma'am.
It just came back to me. I really wanted to know who sung that song in the beginning of the program. I love it. Who's the author of that rap?
That's one of my guys. That's the Iceman. I can send that song to you. I'll go check your email out on your Facebook page, and I'll send it to you tonight.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Uh-huh, yes, ma'am.
The merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. From mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
That's legit.
get your song by Mr. Bob Marley, guys. We got about 3 minutes to go. Sister Gidge, you want to take the floor now and just take it away?
Well, I just want to hear closing statements from Sister Peggy and then Brother Efron, since I've talked throughout the whole show, and then I'll come back and give the schedule of the Nation Building show that we'll close out. Hey. Sister Peggy?
Yes, ma'am, sister. Well, don't feel bad about anything you said tonight. I enjoyed it. I bear witness to it. And I will say that I am very honored to have been asked to be even a part of this platform. I am so, so honored. Thank you for asking me. I thoroughly enjoyed both of you, Brother Ephraim and yourself.
Thank you,
even
sister.
DJ Caesar. I enjoyed it all. Thank you so much for having me. I will go away fulfilled and have learned something. Thank you.
Well, you know you got to come back. You got to come back. This is not a one-stop shop, baby. You got to come back.
You missed it. I love good preaching, so I'll come back to hear you. Just let me know when you're preaching again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
She's real serious about the kids. That's what she works with all day, so she's real serious about that.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. Brother Ephraim.
Oh, don't be sorry.
That's all. Okay. Are the floors over for me? Ah, yes, this is a very blessed, beautiful moment. I give all praise that I'm still breathing enough to be able to share with you, powerful people. You are the shepherds. You are the reason that the next generation will be able to say that they're willing to fight to be able to keep the greatest gift God gives, life. And I pray that they will all say, no more AIDS, family matters, love matters, marriage matter. I'd rather be with you until I breathe no more than to just divorce you and marry someone else and place you and don't care how many different AIDS come in the mix of it all. So tonight we had a chance to be able to share something that I guess makes me a better man, and I pray that I can do something to make the next generation along with my own children better human beings. So my thing to each and every one of you is I thank you. I really do. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Efron. And I just want to say that, you know, yesterday, because we all family, so we can talk. Yesterday, I was really so down in my spirit, and my little brother over there, DJ Caesar, I was telling him, you know, I was trying to come up with a topic, and my mind drew a blank, and he said, Sister Gidden, let me call you back, and 5 minutes later, he had Sister Peggy on the phone, and I think maybe 5 minutes after that, we had our topic, and, you know, I don't do this by myself, and so I want to give a special thank you to DJ Black Caesar, and a special thank you to Sister Peggy X. Welcome to the family, and of course, Brother Efron. You know I got mad love for you, as always. And so you know it's a collective effort. So it's really not about me. So I thank all of you for coming to rescue me, because I was really in a slump yesterday, so I appreciate and I love you all so very much. And DJ Caesar, who makes all of this happen, and he does all that promoting, and I'm getting on him, but he's up all times of night and not getting his rest. But I am so, so very grateful to all that you do. And you know, we all do this out of love. No one is getting paid to do what we do. We do this out of love for you, and out of love for just, you know, righteousness, and out of the love of God, of course. So
I thank each
and every one of you, and I thank my Nation Building family, and I thank the CEO and founder, Brother Rakim, who surprisingly did not pop in tonight. Thank you, Sister Marilyn, who's another one of our admins, Brother Derek, Brother Jamil. Thank all of you. Thank all of my brothers out of New York who are always in support of me. And I want to tell you the schedule for the show. So now we have Tuesday night show is called The Real FOI, and that's just all men and all men talk. Every now and then I might peek my head in there and say something, but I try not to. On Wednesday night, DJ Black Caesar and Bianna have a show, and they are introducing some brilliant new artists, some very, you know, I've noticed lately that the talent has been very young men, at least young men to me, and these young men and women are extraordinary in their talent, and we really need to support them and help them get.
I think we lost Sister Gidget. Basically, we have a show that comes on Wednesday, and we dedicate it to major independent artists. And we have a show that come on Thursday, which is the show, which is the Nation Billing Show. That's the time our show comes on 8 o'clock with Sister Gidget and whoever we have for the panel. And then we have on Saturday, we have a show. I really don't know. I really don't know who. I think that's Brother Forrest. We have a show with Brother Forrest Muhammad. He has a show that comes on Saturday, and I don't know what time that is. I think it's about 10 o'clock in the morning, about 11. So, you know, you guys can check on here. We'll have those shows set up for you. And then we have our show on Sunday, which is a show that we have right now. And basically that show is dedicated to, like, people that have something going on, like dedicated to the workers, like if you want to promote, if you have anything you want to put out there. This used to be our love show, but we changed around now, so now we do whatever we do. And tonight was a great topic. I thank Sister Peggy for coming out tonight. I thank Brother Efron for coming out, and I also thank Sister Darlene for coming out too. We had a great show. Everything was successful, and you guys did a great job. I just want to tell you that. And basically, that's it. It's a wrap, guys. I'll talk to you, everybody out there, Nation Billing. We'll talk to you guys real soon. Tomorrow. We got a show tomorrow.
That's powerful, brother. And we thank you, too, Mr. DJ. We appreciate you.
Sir. Yes, sir, man. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir, also. I appreciate it. We will talk to everybody later. Have a great time, everyone. Be successful and make sure your dreams come true. All right.
All right, peace.